This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Very good evening to you guys and girls, wherever you are watching in the world tonight. It's Monday night again. We had Monday night last week after the Baggies game. We were playing, Chelsea yesterday. And we've already, as I'm just switched on, there's already well over 100 of you waiting for the show to start. So I'm sorry we're a little bit late. We are going to be, as always, splitting this into two halves this week. And we, all being well, we might have a little special guest as well that will be dropping in from an FA event during the show. So make sure you stay switched on for that as well. Hopefully they'll be able to join us. Of course, we're going to be chewing the fat, delving into what was a sensational victory away at Stamford Bridge. Wolves' first victory over Chelsea at Stamford Bridge since 1979. I think it's also Wolves' first double since the home and away since the 74-75 season. And that, I think we've also beaten Chelsea now three games in a row. And on top of that, I think it's Mateus Cunha gets the first ever Wolves hat-trick by any player away from Molineux in the Premier League. Tell me if I've got that wrong. But we're going to get kicking. First of all, we've got great fans and pundits coming on throughout the show, but we're kicking off. I know he's not been here for a little while and you've been like, when's Manny coming back on? But he is. He's back. How are you doing,
yes,
mate?
We're back, yes. I'm doing great, mate. It's been a shame not to be on. I've been really busy, Dave, you know, and I've had to miss a few things and I've been away. And but I have been listening and I've been watching the comments and I thank all the people who've been asking me, where are you? You're not on the... So I'm here now. So let's go.
Manny, I know you're in Northampton tomorrow because you are live on stage.
Don't tell everybody. No, I actually, it's not like that. I am in a hotel room. This is not me, live with a bedroom. Who's got Manny with a bedroom? No, I am in a hotel room because the next 2 days I'm in a theatre in Northampton presenting like railway safety to children, primary school children. So we're doing like a theatre event, makes it special for the kids to come out of school and watch it in that type of environment. So yeah, we're there for the next 2 days. It should be really good fun.
That's fantastic, because that's why you're stopping over thing. And we do appreciate the fact that you have dropped a little bit of a scarf on the bed out there for a little bit of a backdrop for us as well.
You know what? I thought, how can I make it homely? So I just got the scarf out of the car, shoved it. That's like top effort. That's top effort from me, that is.
That is. It's top thing. And Manny, so the reason you've not been on is because you've been over to India.
Yeah.
And also last week, obviously, you pretty much go home and away with most of the games when you can, but obviously your faith takes priority over everything. Oh, yeah, at the festival, didn't you, last Sunday?
Yeah, we have like one really major one it's always the last weekend of January, a huge one that we plan for the whole year. And then when the cup match came out and you knew it was going to be on the weekend, I was like, the Baggies. When we knew it was going to be like a stupid midday kickoff and that. So there was just no way. Not only could I not go there, I couldn't even watch it. You know, I was that busy. So I had to watch it later on. Obviously, I got notifications and it was an easy, comfortable win, let's be honest, even though they huffed and puffed a little bit. So, they're rivals as in they're local, but they're not rivals footballing wise. They're bloody streets behind, let's be honest.
they are, absolutely. And we will, of course, be talking to Manny, not only about the game, but we will be looking forward to the madness that will start in about 3 weeks' time when, you know, as if it weren't bad enough walking. I was thinking about you yesterday, actually, right, when we got to Chelsea, about you walking into Chelsea and we were there to support you as you come, and the emotion after that. And like, yeah, that's it. I'm done. I'm not doing that again. I said to you then, like, yeah, right, okay, give you like a few weeks. And, you decided to walk uphill this time to Newcastle. So we'll be coming on to that as well. I know. Okay. Get involved and how people can support and donate. But also tonight, joining on the first part of the show, we do have Cheerful Chris. And you know, he gets the nickname Cheerful Chris because he can be a bit grumpy at times. So we give him Cheerful Chris. You've got to be cheerful tonight, haven't you, mate?
I'd describe tonight as normal. I'm overflowing with joy, but I'm normal tonight,
Dave, it's Operation Let's Cheer Chris Up. Operation Everybody, let's cheer Chris up.
We have to try and cheer you up. Now, before we get stuck into everything, of course, I do need to say a big, massive thank you to the wonderful people over at Creation Wolf for powering extra time. They deliver the industry's latest and most advanced digital solutions, and they take your brand and online presence and digital capabilities to the next level. There's their website there. The link's in the description below. I know there's a few of you that have. I think there's a couple of companies already that they're helping as well. Now, listen, just before we get into the Chelsea game. We do have our surprise guest. So let's kick your heels up and wait for this. I'm just going to change the backdrop to a nice little Molyneux. There we go. Hold on, let me change a different backdrop if I can. There we go. We'll go with that because we've got to make room for this young man who's absolutely doing a fantastic job with Wolves women.
Maka,
how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Yourself?
Mate, absolutely fantastic. Thank you ever so much for joining. You've got my T-shirt on there, ain't you, DM? Because my surname's an M as well. It's like, you know, I can borrow that off you. You're at an FA event, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm online at the minute, yeah. So I've muted it. Turn the camera off, and then obviously this takes priority with these
more important. This is okay, more important.
Are you able to turn your phone round to landscape for us?
There you go.
That worked.
That's better. Yeah. Now, here you go. Look, people saying hi, Macca, as well to you already. So there's already, Macca, just to let you know, there's already over 200 people watching live as we talk from around the world. Oh, guys, right. let Macca know where you are. Here's one. Jerry Gambone's watching from the Philippines. It's 4:26 in the morning. Where he is.
Go to bed, Jerry.
I've asked Macca to come on because it's important here on Always Wolves. We talk a lot about the men's game, but it's important to talk about Wolves women as well. And we do talk about Wolves women, but they have an absolutely massive, massive game next Sunday. This Sunday coming up, which is actually going to be at Telford, and they are going to be playing a WSL team in Brighton and Hove Albion. I can't actually believe that we've drawn Brighton at home in the FA Cup for both the women's and the men's in the last 16. And I thought it's very important to get Macca on because I want to try and encourage as many people to try and get down next Sunday if they can to support the girls, Macca. And are they looking forward to that?
Yeah, no, it's obviously hugely exciting, Mike. Obviously, it was West Ham that we hosted last year.
We played well as well. I think, for about 70 minutes, 65 minutes, it was 0-0, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was a great crowd. I think it was the third highest crowd on the day as well that day.
Yeah, 67th minute it was. I can remember it well.
Yeah.
Girls are really excited, mate. They're looking forward to it. As I said, the fourth round last year with West Ham, and then obviously to go one better this year and get to the fifth round and draw Brighton again is another fantastic memory for them. So we're looking forward to it. It's a welcome break from what has been a difficult start to the league since the turn of the year. We obviously had a tough result up at Newcastle this weekend. It was a fantastic Newcastle team, I've got to admit. But we turn our attention to this and hopefully we can get plenty in there to make it a memorable occasion. And listen, it's not just about making an occasion out of it. We want to give a good account of ourselves. The plaudits that the girls rightly got last year off the back of the West Ham result were well deserved, and they want to do that again. So hopefully we'll see some new faces down there come Sunday.
Yeah, what's the what is the record attendance down at Telford? What do you know roughly what it is?
I think with regards to Wolves women, I think it was the 1700 at the West Ham game.
Wow!
So it was a really good turnout. As I said, it was a fantastic occasion, and if we can get the same numbers down there again. We found out that the crowd can very much play a big part in the fixtures, as we did when there was 3,500 Geordies singing as the girls walked onto the pitch yesterday. So if we can get anywhere near the numbers we did at West Ham, it will be a huge help in what will be a difficult fixture anyway.
Yeah, that's great. I'm just going to throw a couple of questions open to Manny and then Chris, if there's anything like you guys just want to ask Macca whilst he's on. I've got a couple of questions for you in a bit, mate. Hopefully we've got you for about 10 minutes before you have to shoot off.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I just want to, first of all, I've been to quite a few games in the last 4 years. I actually haven't seen, I've never seen the Wolves women lose when I've been. And I am coming to that game, right? And even though it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, I can't believe that because I struggle to make the 2 o'clock ones, but we have made it special. And I just want to say something because obviously I'm doing this walk to Chelsea. I was approached by
Newcastle.
Yes. Oh, yeah, man, I'm all over the place. Walk to Newcastle, right? And I was approached by a fan who said he would give me a sizable donation for the shirt of Tammy George. And Dan messaged me a couple of weeks ago and said, Tammy's shirt that she'll be wearing at the FA Cup final, she's going to donate towards the walk to Newcastle.
I'm loving that confidence, FA Cup final.
Yeah, FA Cup. It's a final. It's our final, man. The next match is our final. So she's donating that, the bespoke, because it's a bespoke shirt. And I'm pleased to say it's raised £600, which for a women's shirt, I've trawled the internet, Macca, for a women's shirt, I can't, even the England players' shirts, the England team, the Lionesses, don't go for that much. So he's paying £600 for Tammy George's shirt. He's going to be there on the day as well. I've told Tammy, and we can do a little bit of a presentation or something, and just have a bit of a picture, because it's amazing that he's done that. And it's also testament to, women's football. It's here and it plays a huge part, and people are willing to spend that much money on memorabilia that the girls wear in that level of football, and so brilliant, thank you to Tammy obviously and Macca as well for sorting that out.
Top in she Tammy as well, so that's fantastic. Chris, have you got a question for Macca or something you want to ask?
I have for Macca. I sit on the Wolves 1877 trust board, and we've had a few chats about the Wolves women's side, and particularly some debate in our Discord about playing matches at Molyneux and playing matches at Telford, and some fans seem to want them at Molyneux. I live in Telford, so I don't want them in Telford. I just think the team like the atmosphere better at Telford. They seem to play well under that atmosphere at Telford. What's your thoughts on where the game should be played? Because there's quite a bit of debate about it.
Yeah, listen, I think the girls, who wouldn't love playing at Molyneux? You know, it's an unbelievable stadium. It's one of my favourites. You know, as a massive football fan, I think it's just got a great feel about the place, hasn't it? It's old school. But when you know, when we're talking about certainly heading into games of this magnitude, we want to try and keep our home comforts, because ultimately, if we do play at Molyneux, I know it sounds silly, but it's like an away game for us. You know, the size of the pitch, we don't get accustomed to that. We don't get accustomed to even, like, it's like a carpet. You know, some would say we enjoy the bobble on Telford, even though that pitch is outstanding in its own right. So I think there just has to be a little bit of consistency. So, as I said, there'd be nothing more than, you know, in a couple of years' time, hopefully we can progress up the leagues and we play a certain amount of fixtures at Molyneux. I know the girls would welcome it, the fans would welcome it. But I think we've also got to understand that the transition to the Buck's Head, it opened up a new fan base for us. So not only did the AFC fan base follow us, we also opened up a real new network of fans and young generation females and males who have started to follow us now. And we, you know, we're regularly getting 500-600 people down there. So on top of the home comforts that they'll have this weekend to help them through a difficult fixture, it's also, we've got to try and be fair to the fan base who follow us week in, week out, and moving the big ones as such to Molyneux, kind of, you know, a little bit unfair. Does that make sense? You know, even though
this is what the topic's been. This is what, why has it gone back to Wolves? They do well at the Buck's Head, that sort of thing. Yeah. You know, so I get it's to try and get people from local Wolverhampton in and see and try and get to the game, but it, you know, you're used to the crown on that pitch now, aren't you? I guess,
yeah, absolutely.
It's a nightmare,
yeah. So,
I explained to Dave when he first went about that crown on the sidelines, nightmare.
Yeah. No, it's great, and I think to be fair, I mean, I know there's a few people that talked about when you move from AFC Wolverhampton's, but the facilities for the girls are probably at Telford a lot better than AFC is and Wolverhampton's. I know it's a bit out of town and stuff like that, but in terms of the facilities on the day and what they can do and what you've got there, the infrastructure, it's a different level, isn't it, for them?
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right there. I think the you know, ultimately myself and the girls and the club, we want to play in the Championship, and we want that transition into the Championship when it eventually happens to be quite smooth. And AFC doesn't offer the facilities to get to that level. You know, it's the small things and the details that sometimes fans don't think about. You've got to have your separate drug doping rooms. You've got to have certain amount of gantry for certain filming and all this kind of stuff. So, listen, we'd love to have remained in the city. Ultimately, we're Wolverhampton Women and we wanted to remain in the city, but there's very few and far between grounds that are at the level that could see that smooth transition into the Championship. So listen, Telford's fantastic. You know, we're probably blessed with one of the best stadiums in the Championship before we even get there, never mind the Super League. I think we probably touch a couple of the Super League grounds as well, to be fair. But you know, it's fantastic for us to get that opportunity at Tier 3. And the only problem is when we do bring the teams from Tier 3 to Telford, it raises their game 20% as well because of the facilities and everything that come with it. So no, fantastic. I know the girls are happy there, and hopefully, as I said, we can continue to do well and progress up the pyramid.
Guys in the chat, if you've got any questions for Mac or whilst we've got him on, just drop it there.
I've got another one, Dave, if you want me to.
Yeah, cheerful. And we call him cheerful because he's usually very grumpy, Macca. But I have got a question for you as well. And Manny, one more for you as well.
Yeah.
But go first. Chris.
So, Macca, obviously, I work for a defence contractor, so I obviously know your work and you're serving there. I think politically you're an air person now, or is it? But how do you balance your, obviously, military commitments now with... Because I know you had a period where you were doing something through work and couldn't do, but how does that look in the future, and how supportive have the RAF been with it?
Yeah, listen, I owe the RAF a lot for the platform that they've given me to achieve with Wolves. You know, it's not been easy at times, and the last 6 years there has been some real challenges. And the one that you're talking about there was when I had to watch the playoff final from the Falkland Islands. Now, that's bad enough as it is, but watching it 8 minutes behind normal time made it even worse. Especially
you didn't cuddle a penguin, did you?
Yeah, well, it made it worse that my goalkeeper coach can't keep his mouth shut. So I was getting told everything 8 minutes before it happened and then watching it 8 minutes later. but no, listen, as we progress, we things have to change. I don't want to say too much as yet, but over the last sort of 48 hours, I've had some real, real positives with regards to my commitments to Wolves and the commitments to the RAF again. Huge thanks to the military for what will come out in the coming months, hopefully. And as I said, you know, it's hopefully those commitments can start to pay big dividends with regards to the girls and the impact we're having on them and the development of the club. Because as I said, there's a huge ambition of mine to get up the leagues. You know, I want to work in the league personally. But over the last 6 years, I've formed a real attachment with this football club, and I don't really want to go anywhere else. I want to see Wolves into the championship. Yeah. So hopefully we can do that.
Well, my question is going to be a little bit to do with that. But Manny, I think you've
got... Yeah, I just, you know, obviously this season, Macca, it's been... I think we've had quite a tough spell, the girls have. I had to, you know, stick together a little bit. You had Ellie Wilson, Olivia Ferguson, Will Merrick, lots of players obviously coming in. I remember, you know, when you first came up through the leagues and you made the jump and you got to the top of the league, you did have quite a settled side back then. I think it sort of, you know, you had a select amount of players and it sort of picked itself, and now you've brought in a lot. So what is this? Is this down to the strength of the opposition? Is it just, you know, it takes time for new players to come in and bed and follow your instructions?
I think ultimately, Manny, I think it's a massive positive which has turned into a massive negative for Wolves. And the positive is that the women's game has grown so much over the last few years. We've now seen Newcastle United run a full-time women's programme where the women are full-time athletes alongside 10, 12 staff members. And the club have massively financed that. And the same at Nottingham Forest now. Forest are on a hybrid system, so they have a set amount of full-time players and full-time staff. And the same as Burnley. So that's the huge positive in the fact that the women's game's grown that much. This is happening in the third tier now. Now, the negative to that is Wolves aren't in a position as yet to start competing with that kind of level. So, yes.
Is there a future for that to happen?
Say again, Manny?
Is there something there? Is there dialogue going on where you see these teams progressing and you want to get there as well?
Yeah. Well, listen, I've always said, Manny, that I'll always remain at the football club as long as the ambition's there. And I've yet to see the ambition run out as such. So yeah. I'm still hopeful. But ultimately, we can't compete at the minute with not just the finances, because it's the players that are coming in, you know. We can't compete, so we've got to try and use all the other resources and the great facilities that Wolves give us to try and stay in touch with those people at the top of the league. And there's no truer word spoken than, as we said yesterday, we got back on the bus quite disappointed. And, you know, the whole squad, Perks is back in work today. I was back in teaching this morning, whereas Newcastle have got a recovery day to look forward to today. So we're up against it, mate. We're up against it. And ultimately, we need that next level now to sort of kick on and try and be competitive again.
Well, Macca, this is the question that I was going to ask, actually, because, like, to me, you know, Wolves have invested in esports, they've invested in fashion and music and stuff like that to grow the brand. We see the WSL brand and the England Lionesses growing the women's game. And to me, investment into the women's team helps grow Wolves brand. And I worry that if they don't match and keep up with the likes of Newcastle and Burnley and Forest, you're at a disadvantage and you're wanting to go up. I remember when Coventry went up a couple of years ago to the Championship, and then they didn't, you know, the girls couldn't go full time. And I know we picked up a few girls and a few women from Coventry, but when you do go up, because they've got jobs, they need to be, you know, to keep your squad and keep developing, they need to be, to me, paid properly as a full-time athlete. And we've had, there's been various conversations around this, that a lot of the fans do believe Wolves should be investing more into Wolves women in terms of actually paying the players so that you can go up. Because you've seen Newcastle, like you say, have gone fully professional. You're up against a fully professional Brighton side at the weekend. Nottingham Forest have gone fully professional. Burnley are, you know, pretty much going that way. Can you see that Wolves can go that? And I don't understand why Wolves haven't already gone that way, because to me, you're only talking about an extra £1 million a year into the women from all the finances that are going that can enable you to do that. And that brings in more fans, more revenue, grows the brand better, and Wolves get that sort of exposure in the women's game as well. Because other teams are, like you say, are catching up and almost, you know, because they're investing, they're going past you, and that's not your fault, because you can only deal with what you can deal with in terms of your budgets.
Yeah, I think the first thing to say on that subject is, we are massively thankful for what the club do give us in regards to the facility. So the facilities and the resources and the medical care and everything around the football club that the girls get access to is unrivaled. It has been for the last 2 or 3 years. It's unrivaled. And I think
you can train at Compton, can't you? And you're down there now as well.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. You know, the things that don't happen in the women's game, they do happen at Wolves. So we do get a very good package in a different sense. So I think, you know, we're massively thankful for what the football club have done. And I don't think it's sort of anybody's fault. It's just the speed in which the game has grown now. You know, we've always wanted to create something that was sustainable. You know, I don't want my time to come to the end at whatever point that will be. And because there's so much money involved, everything falls apart. So we have always talked about whatever we do create at Wolves, we wanted it to be sustainable. Now, that isn't, unfortunately, throwing loads of money and millions of pounds at something within, you know, 12, 18, 24 months. It's about making sure the platform and everything that's underneath, the foundations, are really solid. And that's not just the first team, that's the youth. You know, we want to produce our own players. We talk about the likes of Sky Owen, KJ, the twins, all those players who have come right the way through, Beth Merrick, all those players, Tammy George, who've come right the way through the pathway. We don't want to lose that. So it's important those foundations are there. And as I said, all I can say, as long as I'm still getting the feeling that the ambition is there, then I'm sure year on year we'll keep progressing. And everything always happens for a reason. I'm sure you two will agree. You three will agree with that. And hopefully when the time's right and the stars align, then we'll get our moment and our opportunity that the girls and I have craved and all the staff, and we can get to that elusive championship.
Well, absolutely, because, I mean, you would have got there a couple of years ago, when, apart from
that, for stupid rules,
playoff. And then obviously you were down to 10, and I was at that game at Stockport. To be honest, even though you were down to 10, you were the better team on the day. It was so unlucky. I think had you stayed at 11, you would have actually got the promotion that year. Maka, we want to just switch back to the game against Brighton. Obviously, they're not having the best of seasons in the WSL. I think they've changed their manager as well, but they're still a fully professional team. They're going to be massive favourites, but getting Wolves fans down there to Telford to really support the girls this weekend is going to give them, when they walk out, such a lift. And and it's the FA Cup, you know, upsets do happen. I think Wolves are currently the lowest ranked side still in the tournament. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So we can have our, you know, kind of Maidstone moment, you know, and all of that. And, you know, it'd be great if you could get over 2,000 there and break that record. And, you know, are the girls, do they believe they can do it and get to the quarterfinals? It would be incredible.
Well, listen, it's I don't think there's ever any point in anything in life unless you believe, is there? It's a word that we often use within the environment. There's got to be belief, otherwise we may as well just not turn up and let them go through. You know, someone said to me the other day, which puts it into context, with you're three games away from Wembley. And when you think of it like that, what an achievement it is already for where we're at. But yeah, look, if we could get fans down there, you know, it's... I go the game a lot myself, as you three know. You see me at the games and stuff, and just hearing, you know, the song to walk out to is spine tingling at times. And we get the same down at Telford. You know, you can tell when there's 200 in there, and you can tell when there's 600 and 700 in there, because it's amazing feeling to walk out to it, and no doubt it will have a massive impact on the girls this weekend, as well as, you know, surprising Brighton. I know one of the comments from West Ham when they came last season was, you know, we can't believe how intimidating this place is. There's 1,600 Wolves people in there, and it does become a little bit intimidating, especially when they've got to come and perform. They're the full-time outfit. So it is a David and Goliath, as you said. I think it's important that the people that are coming down understand just how big of a task it is. But I've said this to many fans over the years in different forums. This city unites in people that work hard for Old Gold, and I'm sure you three will back me up in saying that these girls will give everything on Sunday for the badge. That they'll represent the city in the right way, and they'll have a great work ethic. And listen, sometimes good things happen to good people, and who's to say we can't squeeze into that quarterfinal come Sunday evening.
Absolutely. And now I believe it is, you know, I don't think you can go there on for this game with just with your Wolves season ticket. I think your maximum you're going to pay is a fiver. I think there's lot cheaper. I think there's even pound tickets and stuff like that for concessions. Can they pay on the day, or have they got to buy tickets before? How does that work?
Yeah, no, I think you can pay on the day. You can buy tickets before as well. As I said, hopefully we get a healthy crowd down there. You know, there'll be loads going on, shall we say, throughout the day. And it's not very often you get to see a Super League team, you know, performing in and around Wolverhampton. So you know, the quality, they've got some, you know, the ex-Spanish international captain Vicky Lasada playing. So that'll be an interesting matchup against Tammy George, Manny. I'm sure you'll enjoy watching that.
You know what? We've just seen Maidstone and like other clubs, you know, small clubs and their home grounds with no hope, apparently. But, you know, it raises people, doesn't it? It raises people to different levels. You just perform to a different level. It's just the way humans work, you know. And for all those girls marching out there against Super League opposition at home, and like you said, with a crowd, and it's a little bit raucous, and Brighton are just... We all know you need a little bit of luck, maybe. You need your keeper to have a blinder. You need things to go and all your chances to be taken. But it's 0-0 at the moment. It's 11 against 11. So, there's a chance. There's always
There's been plenty of cup upsets on that ground in non-league football and FA Cup matches in the men's game over the years. So it's a good place to cause an upset. Some big teams lost there.
And what time's kickoff next Sunday, Macca?
1 o'clock. Yeah, it's earlier on Sunday, so it's a 1 o'clock kickoff.
I think it's also live, isn't it? It's live on
the FA Player as well.
Don't watch it on FA Player. Actually at Bookshed. We want the Wolf Pack down there getting behind the girls. This is a last 16 match against a women's Super League team to get to the quarterfinals of the women's FA Cup. It would be a massive achievement, and that's going to be massively helped by as many Wolves fans of every generation getting down there to watch. And I'll tell you what, if you've never been to a women's game before, get down there, because the atmosphere is fantastic. I'll try and go 3 or 4 times a year myself with Emma. Went to the FA Cup match last year against West Ham. It was absolutely fantastic. Some of the football that is played there is really, really good. And it's exciting to watch. And I tell you what as well, the access that you get to the players as well, is phenomenal, because all the girls at the end of the game, they will come over to the fans, they'll have photographs, they'll sign autographs, they'll sign balls. And last year as well, I noticed the West Ham girls came over as well. And I'm sure the same will be the same with some of these like internationals, Spanish from the Brighton girls will come over as well. So even after the game, whatever the result, I'm sure that they'll come over and you'll be able to get like autographs and shirts signed and, you know, all of that sort of stuff done as well. That's right, isn't it, Macca? Because they really do make an effort to show the fans their appreciation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've started to, and Manny will definitely back me up, they've built their own profile over the last few years, the girls, and it's thoroughly deserved. You know, they're starting to get that profile, they get recognised, they get asked for photographs, they get to sign autographs, and it's nothing short of what they deserve. You know, they've represented this football club fantastically well for, well, Perks, he's 26 years now, and some of them for the last 12 months. So, yeah, they'll be in and amongst the crowd at the end, no matter what the result. I might take a little bit more time to come over, depending on the result, but I'll definitely get over there.
I was going to say, Macca, when we win a league game, you're jumping 10 foot in the air when we win a league game. We beat Brighton. This guy, just have the camera on this guy. This guy's going to go absolutely.
Well, absolutely. I could be able to get... I get a chat with you after the game as well, Macca. Listen, mate, I know that you've given some time to come on tonight to talk about it, but like, we really did want to highlight it to as many people as possible and encourage as many people to come down as possible. We'll promote it on our socials as well. If you go onto the Wolves Women's socials, which I think Wolves have shared a link to the ticketing information today as well, get on that. Get down on Sunday, enjoy the day, back the girls, and you never know, you might be able to see an upset and history being made.
Yeah, agree.
Thanks. Any final thoughts, Macca, before you shoot?
No, just really appreciate you going out your way to promote the girls. And as I said, let's hope we can both get through fifth round ties with Brighton. That would be a story in itself, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Macca, good luck to all the girls and you and all your staff, and we're all going to be behind you, mate.
We will be. And it's really good. Thanks for being so open with your insight as well, with the questions and stuff. That's really invaluable, and hopefully that helps educate a few people as well who are interested in the development of the women's game. And there is no doubt in my mind that you will get to the championship within the next couple of seasons. You've been so close. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when, not if, mate.
Brilliant. Fingers crossed.
All the best, mate.
Appreciate
all
you guys.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers, Macca.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How about that? Fantastic.
Brilliant. Well done, Dave, for getting him on, because you know what? They deserve that, you know, and we do concentrate on the men's game. That's just the way it is. But brilliant. We spent so much time tonight, just talking to him, and he's just a wonderful guy. So well done, Dave, for getting him on.
No, thanks, mate. I appreciate that. It's, you know, this is a Wolves channel, and this is, you know, we do obviously focus quite rightly on the men, but like the women, you know, they train hard, you know, they're part-time. They're achieving some fantastic things, and they do deserve the support. And as I say, it's great for the, you know, Wolves manager Macca to come and give some time to come and talk to us, and, you know, and support. And like, we need to get down there on Sunday and support him. And let, you know, the record 1,700 down at Telford. Let's break that 2,000 barrier and you know, really get behind them, and you'll enjoy it. If you've never been before, you'll massively enjoy it as well.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Right, on to the game itself, Manny. Yesterday, you were there.
Yes.
You're wearing a red top in
You know what? There were 20 quid yesterday. So we go in and we bought them because I thought we will probably wear them on one of the days of the walk. So we all wore the red tops yesterday, not really knowing that they were going to wear red. And they've got a good record in these red tops, haven't they?
They have. I ain't a fan of them, as cheerful Chris will say, but that we have got a really, really good record. Mate, we went to Chelsea yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah.
We ain't won there since 1979. I did feel that we could, even though we lost against United in the week and we started really, really slow, I thought, you know, and you've pointed it out as well on socials and talked about it, this team ain't like last year's team. They do not crumble. Right. They have fight. They have belief. They don't cave and they fight back. And although it was a sucker punch at the end, I still walked out on Wednesday night proud of the thing. Yeah, they started slow and, you know, but I think they were trying to get the win on Wednesday and they got caught with a fantastic goal from that young 18-year-old. It was a great goal to win it and it was a sucker punch. But you know what? They took it on the chin. They've turned it around. It's a short, small squad and they took on the chin, even though they were the better team before Chelsea scored at the weekend. I thought we were on top even before they scored. They fought back and they literally destroyed Chelsea, Manny.
Mate, you know what? In that second half, again, on Thursday, we also destroyed Manchester United, really. You know, we did. And if you think about it, we've scored seven goals against United and Chelsea. Seven goals. We don't score seven goals in 6 months in our previous regime. Bloody hell. That's unbelievable. That's after beating your local rivals on Sunday. So even though, you know, it was disappointing, it was gutting, and there was defensive errors, I'm looking at this team, and they're like, they're like the entertainer. You know, Newcastle, remember them? They didn't care if they conceded two or three because they just believed they could score three or four. And this team, you know, went behind against Man United, came back, went behind. You remember Spurs at home, came back, fought till the end, went behind against Chelsea, came back. And, you know, it's just unreal. They just got so much potency. And from all angles, it's like, it's not even, you know, Neto only. It's from every angle. Nuri, from Neto, from Cunha, from Sarabia, who's like looking like a really good player. And that's without our top scorer being there. So yesterday was an epic away day. Like you said, totally dominated. When they scored that first goal, it was completely against the run of play. We were bossing the game. We were in control. Only really looked like one side were going to, you know, score. And obviously they did score. But straight away, we're back up there. Straight away, Gomez is on there. You know,
to be honest, he did really well to nick the ball. That's what Gomez does. He nicked the ball.
And then there's four players, Dave. Four players in a line. It's like the Red Arrows. The Red Arrows, it was like. They just went. And like previously, we've been all shouting, oh, go on, get in the box. Go on, get forward. And it used to be sort of, back in the day, it used to be Adama and everybody was like 20 yards back because no one could keep up with him. But all these players are fast. Nuri's really fast. Cunha, his turn of pace is just so electric. And we know what Neto can do. So, yeah, brilliant performance and quite deservedly had gone up 3-1 and 4-1. And, yeah, poor goal at the corner, but even then, we still went forward. We didn't sort of sit back. We still went forward. You know, Bellegarde could have scored. And Neto, absolutely brilliant. The strength. You know what?
Neto.
How strong is he?
Scared. I mean, in the start of the second half, if you've seen the match vlog, you might have seen on the stuff like, I watched the match vlog because I'm right behind the goal. I mean, I've got all the goals, but especially the ones that end. But Neto, absolutely, his balance is strength, his upper body strength, the way he keeps the ball when there was four on him, he literally scared them to death. They were scared him to death. I mean, I'm going to say this guy Pedro Neto is world class.
He
is one of the best players in the Premier League without a shadow of a doubt. He's unbelievable. And I'll tell you what, Matheus Cunha, his emotion that he shares with the fans and his pride. I mean, you know, he's an emotional guy, Cunha is, but he's such a really good bloke. And it meant so much scoring that hat-trick to him. And then you see the pictures in the changing room after, okay, we've not won an FA Cup final or, you know, won the league. But there's a togetherness that we'd lost for 3 years. And even though there was so much change and heartache and disruption and dissent and division in the summer, I do feel like everybody is really on board with this Gary O'Neill team. And Chris, I want to ask you, what do you think the difference is? What, you know, I mean, in the team, the way we play, and is it just simply down to playing for each other? Is it belief?
No, there's a lot of differences, Dave. The first one, I think the manager has given them belief. So they believe now when they're playing, they're going to do the things that we see them doing now that are scaring other teams. They believe they can do it. They play in a way. He's given them a way to play that they believe in. So they've bought into it, the players. I don't think they ever bought into anything Bruno Lage did. So that, you know, this is where the... I'd go as far as to say this team, its belief, its playing style, as a core team, is better than Nuno's European team. I think O'Neill has moved this team that far forward. He's got a good core of players, a good playing pattern. He can change the way we play about. He makes the odd technical ruck-up, but I think that's because he likes to try different things and he doesn't want to be a one-trick pony, and we certainly aren't. And some of these players now are really, you know, I actually think he's designed a team around Cunha. I actually think that's what he's done. If you looked yesterday, that guy was pulling into places and spaces. There was nobody around him at Chelsea. And it was like, my God, look where he's got again. And we were getting the ball to him. And he was just, you know, between him and Neto making so much stuff happen. It's really good to watch. It's good to see we don't panic when we concede a goal. We'll stick to the plan. We'll carry on what we're doing. And I thought, I wasn't very happy with the goal we conceded, the first one on, I don't know where Totti was. I think we got the ball and we were going forward, and he just completely lost his bearings and where his bloke was. He just, the ball was inside him and he'd gone past him. He was like running through mud trying to catch up. But I think that he's got that core belief. He's got them a playing style. It's clear from all the press conferences. He sits them down and he gives them clear instructions about each game, and they've got a plan. You know, how many times we come on here and said, well, what exactly are we trying to do? Because we've got no idea what we were playing like under Lage, but also a little bit under Lopetegui. Sometimes we're like, well, what's the plan just not to let a goal in? And I think we've gone from that to a young manager that wants to get on. My real concern with how well it's going now is slightly differently. It's really whether the club matches ambition moving forward. And I'm worried that they may not, and he may get headhunted.
Go on, Manny.
I was going to say, you asked the question, what's the difference? I will point to one player, Ryan Aitnouri. Last year, if you ever watched him arrive at a game, he had his hoodie on, his like, headphones on, head bowed, never used to look at the fans, hardly had a smile on his face. Suddenly, he wasn't even in the squad. He got bombed out, sort of discarded. Nobody really knew what was happening. I'm pretty sure Lopetegui remains at the club. Aitnouri's on his bike. Now, the guy's got the biggest smile. He's, you know, hugging people. He's jumping on people. He's in everyone's pictures. He's doing his own social media posts. He didn't do that last year, because he wants to join in with the fun. The guy is having fun. And that's Gary O'Neill, Sarabia, Hwang, Cunha, Aitnouri. All these players are better than what they were in the last 6 months of the Lopetegui era. They're better now. And that is what Gary O'Neill has done to each individual player that plays on that pitch. He's made them better.
Cunha, I got Ivinic. I've got to give you an exclusive here, Dave. I've got to say it. I actually like Ait Nouri at the moment.
But you've hated on him, mate.
But you know why? Because he hasn't got the defensive responsibilities he used to have under the other managers. And he's playing to his strengths now. O'Neill has seen what his strengths are and he's playing to it. Yes, he comes back and defends, but we've got that extra man at the back which helps him. And that's, and for what he's doing now, great. Wouldn't want to see anybody else there.
And interestingly as well, the game turned as well against United when Ait Nouri come on and Sarabia in the week. I actually think he should have probably started in that game as well. You're right, actually, with some of the points that you make there. I mean, again, if you watch the match vlog that I've done, because they come behind the goal and they're hugging, Ait Nouri is in that group.
He's the first one. He's the worst one, reaching out to the fans. Yeah. His first one.
He's doing high fives.
And that's unknown. And if you think about it, I think, Chris, you're quite right. Defensively, we were probably better under Lopetegui. Really solid. We had a lot of 1-0s, scrapped him out, defended for our lives. But O'Neill's looked at the squad and thought, Cunha, Sarabia, Ait Nouri. These are your strengths, attack. So let's get you attacking. Ait Nouri was so far forward. We were almost playing with a four at the back a lot of the time against Chelsea because we could. He was pushing them back so far forward. And that's his strength. You know, he's as difficult. If you've got Neto flying on the other side, then you've got Ait Nouri doing the same on the other side. And then you've got this Cunha who goes everywhere and does the same thing. It's like having, I think my son said, it's like having three Traores with end product.
It's a good point, actually. You
know, we had 8 goals and assists from our forward players in the whole of the Premiership season. We got 45 between those 4 players. Already with 15 games to go, they've got 45 collaboratively. That is unreal improvement, and that's down to his coaching. That's not just players just turning up and thinking, oh, let's just play today. That's Gary O'Neill meticulously. And we doubted him. We wondered what he was going to do. Wow, you know, and I agree with Chris. We had brilliant times under Nuno. But this type of football, this type of going into matches where you think you can score 3 or 4 against United, that you can score 4 against, you know, we've scored 4 at Brentford, we scored 4 at Chelsea. This is slowly building. This has been building. You know, it hasn't come straight away. That's him building every single day. We've done that without Neto for a huge part of the season. We've done that now without our top scorer for the last how many games? So we're doing it without real key players as well. And now these players are coming back. Neto's flying. Juan comes back. You know, Juan can wait his turn, can't he? He can almost say, right, you've had a really hard Asian Cup. I'm going to let you have a little mini pre-season because these players ain't going to let you in anyway. You know, and we can do that. Same with Gomez. We could do that. Now we've got Doyle playing so well, we can bring Gomez back. We have actually got options. And, you know, we didn't sign a striker. Everyone was frustrated. You name a striker that we were linked with that's better than Cunha, Neto, Sarabia, Huang. You know, no one. They weren't. None of them are better than what we've got. The players we've got, the rest of the Premier League are looking at and thinking, wow, you know. So enjoy the moment. We don't know what the future will hold. Obviously, yeah, they're going to be courted. But that's what we want. Obviously, that means you're doing well. That's all we can do. And we can, we you know, when the summer comes, we hope that he will get backing. But when you see the way they play, there's not much backing actually needed. There's only key components. We don't need 6 or 7 players because these players also, apart from maybe Dawson, they're quite young. They've got a lot to learn. They've got to, they can still grow and get better. Cunha's not the full package, and he's just, you know, yet he's not in terms of his peak. So it's good times,
I'll tell you what as well. We talked about goals, and we've got about 8 minutes left to this side of the chat, so we've got to get on to the performance ratings and all of that as well. But, like, we talked about goals so many times over the last 2 or 3 seasons, and, like, the last 2 seasons, we were the lowest scorers. In fact, the season before last, we stayed up with the lowest goals scored ever. Incredible. And we had 2 deflections yesterday. Ait Nouri and Cunha. But if you don't shoot, you don't get those deflections.
Right place,
if you don't shoot, you don't get them. Ryan Aitnuri, where did he come from the second goal? Because he's supposed to be on the left wing. He came across through the centre to get onto that cross. Hmm. And then Pedro Neto for the third goal. How he surges past the defence, cuts it back. Kuna just finishes it. And then Kuna creates the penalty because
he does the same on the other side. Yeah.
Running with the ball. And when you run at teams with the ball and you're doing it from all sides, through the middle, through the side, they panic and it causes a mistake. And also, we really, really did press Chelsea and made them make the mistakes. We were on the front foot. And, you know, the only thing that was disappointed, and Gary O'Neill will be disappointed with, was conceding another goal from a set piece because we've been so good at defending set pieces. And probably the last 10 minutes. Other than that, I think he mentioned it in his thing. He was a bit disappointed with the thing. You're talking about a 4-2 win. And the last 10 minutes, he did make a few changes. We went a little bit sloppy. And we had a little bit of a period where we were a little bit sloppy 5 minutes before we scored the third goal. So it just goes to show there's still a lot we can improve on. And you're right. In the summer, we didn't get the striker in. Gary O'Neill wants a number 9. They will get a number 9, and it needs to be the right person in the summer, and the investment. There's going to be, in the summer, Pedro Neto is going to be, there's probably going to be a bidding war on him, you know, but they've got to hold out for the right amount of money or say, I'm sorry, if you don't pay this money, he's not going or anywhere. Kuna has come on. All of these players, but I agree with you. I think we're only probably 3 players really short of a fantastic team. If we obviously the team as it stands, it is a striker. I think central defence. We need some help as well. Maybe another wide forward or something like that. Obviously, we know when Lamine has come in, and we'll see what happens with him. We bought some others for the future. We'll see what happens. But let's go first to you, Chris, with your Lee Moore Windows Man of the Match and your Fox at Shipley performance rating and your highlight of the day or moment of the day.
Man of the Match was, for me, Kuna. Just going back to what you're saying about a number 9, I think if we buy a number 9, I don't think we will play the same formation next year, because I think we'll want to play Kuna as a number 10 with him. That's what I think, because I couldn't see a number 9 fitting into what they're doing now, really. So I think that we need to realise that may happen. So we may see some changes. But by the by, he was man of match. I wrote your report for the Always Wolves website, and I gave it an 8, which I'll stay by. I thought there was two very sloppy bits of defending that caused us goals, and some little periods where we kind of lost stuff. I would question where 10 minutes stoppage time came from, because I didn't think there would be 10. But I give it a very solid 8, almost a 9.
Absolutely, and there's the report. On that website, then we also got like things we've learned as well, which was done there. All of these articles are on there to read, and also player ratings as well. All done by different people that write for the website. So go and check all those out as well, guys.
Moment of the day, I think I need to give him a mention. I think was probably Neto, some of the things he was doing down the wing. Ben Chilwell, he's a proper class fullback, and he was made to be looking awful the weekend. He didn't know what to do with him.
Good point. Yeah. Manny, over to you for the same questions.
Yeah, man of the match. I mean, when a striker scores a hat-trick away from home, it's the first win there for, so long. He was not only his goals, you know, it was just his enthusiasm, isn't it? It's infectiousness. You know, when we got rid of Neves and Cody and Moutinho and Saïss and Ruddy, and we thought, oh, where's all our leaders? Where's all our leaders? Gary O'Neill suddenly produced a team of leaders. Lamina, Dawson, Gilman, Cunha, they all lead from different parts of the pitch, don't they? And they lead it with their talent. But then they have this rapport with the fans, all of them. And Cunha leads that. He is the ringleader with that bond between the fans and everybody else. He's just such an infectious nature. Just a really quick story, Dave. Remember that Foundation Awards we went to? And I sort of mentioned that I walked to Chelsea over 3 days, and Neto, Kilman and Cunha were in the room at the time. And I looked at them and I said, and you lost 3-0, because we lost against Chelsea 3-0. They started laughing, Neto and Kilman. And Cunha went, I wasn't there. He went, I wasn't there twice, he said it to me. So here he is, Chelsea, the first time we went back there, and he smashes a hat-trick. So he was definitely there on, you know, brilliant that was. So, you know, what a performance. Yeah, those two goals were sloppy, but you know what? 4 goals away at Chelsea and beating them for the first time in 1979, that's just unreal. So I'm going to give it a 9, because I think it's just sometimes you play in that way where you do leave yourself a little bit exposed, but you believe that you're going to score goals. So that's why I'm going to give it a 9. Moment of the day. Obviously, that was the first game, Dave. Obviously, you mentioned it. That I'd gone over, you know, to that ground since we did the walk. And the Chelsea fans, mate, unbelievable. £175 in cash I had in my pockets yesterday. And it was Wolves fans.
To be honest, mate, they were good.
Also Chelsea fans. You know, they get a bit of a reputation, don't they? And let's be honest, if we go back to the 70s and 80s, every club had a reputation, including ours. So, you know, they've sort of had one ever since, sort of, you know, the media don't like. And I can't speak more highly of Chelsea fans. Whenever I've gone there, they come up to you, they shake your hand, they give donations, they're, you know, really kind. Even after the game, people are coming up to me, shaking my hand. Yeah, we remember you. Where's your link? And scanning the QR code and everything. So brilliant. And we met the steward, that steward who led me in on the walk. He turned up there as well. So it was nice seeing those faces. So, yeah, it was a good moment for me.
Yeah, and like after the game, actually quite a few Chelsea fans came and talked to us. There's one that was walking down, and like he was saying, you absolutely smashed us. And I did find the gallows humour of some of them coming out singing, "We're blooming shit," or whatever along those singing coming out. You know, but they took it well. Yeah. You know, I mean, they actually said to us, "You absolutely battered us. You deserved it. You were absolutely fantastic."
The 4-2 flattered them. Let's be honest, it flattered them because we made a couple of mistakes. It was our wrongdoings, not their brilliant play. So,
and this is what I'm saying. There's still a lot of room to improve. We saw it against United. Definitely. Too often we've conceded the first goal, and we've got to stop doing that because you've always got a mountain to climb. But you know, if you'd have said at the start of the year, with everything that had gone on when Gary O'Neill came in 3 days before the season, that here we are sitting the first week of February, we're in the top half, we're above Chelsea, we're a point behind Newcastle, we're
last 16 of the cup,
last 16 of the cup, home tie against our bogey side Brighton, and we're within 5 points of a European place.
That's without, you know, with Neto Huang missing, Neto being injured, and
7 points deducted by VAR.
Yeah, all those VAR deductions
as well. Yeah, you wouldn't have believed it. You'd have thought it was a fantasist. And like Craig Tuberwolf, Craig, who came on something about the 7th or 8th goal, we did a reaction where he said, "We're going to finish 7th. We might not finish 7th. We might finish 11th, 12th, whatever. 13th last year. But from where we are, anything above that is progress." But like, this is a team that can go all. I believe we can go all the way in the cup. I really believe that we can get to a cup final this year. There's no reason why we can't do it. And I think we can finish top half without a shadow of a doubt. And why not? Because they believe it. And I tell you what, they want it and they're hungry for it. They are hungry, and we haven't seen hungry Wolves like this.
I think it reminds me of that first season with Nuno, because there's no expectation. Even this season, we thought, what's going to happen? We can actually leave that now. We can park it to one side and just start turning up and enjoying our team, playing well, fighting for the shirt, playing for the badge, having that rapport, knowing what they're doing, and just enjoy the moments. And then it's almost like, let's see where it gets us. And it got us into Europe, didn't it, with Nuno? And that's why, rather than put the pressure, oh, if we lose, put the pressure on by saying, oh, we're never going to make Europe now, or, oh, we're not that good. We've got so, just enjoy, go to the matches, enjoy the games, and cheer the lads on. And let's see. And Dave, you're quite right. You know, beat Spurs, we beat Chelsea, we beat City. So these are the sides we're going to play in the cup. And you get a decent draw and a little bit of luck, we can go. I mean, that's a harder match for Brighton than it is for us. Yes, we have to turn up and play well on the day, but
we hadn't beaten the Baggies since 96. We hadn't beaten at Orphans. We hadn't beaten
Chelsea since 79.
We ain't scored this many goals at this part of the season for ages. And Brighton are our bogey side and we can't beat them. I'll tell you what, we can, and we are going to in the next game, because the players believe they can do it. And I really, really think we'll beat Brighton. And then we'll have a quarter final. If we can get it at Molineux again, we can recreate that atmosphere against United that we had a few years ago. Who knows? We can do it. Finally, Manny, on this side of the chat, we are going to be doing the quiz, by the way, right at the end with everyone. We're not doing it in the first half. We're going to do it at the end. So we're going to do a big quiz, the penalty shootout quiz. Manny, just before we finish this first half, can you just give us an update on the mad walk to Newcastle? He's a happy chap because they haven't moved the fixture, which would have caused issues.
Oh, man, we have been absolutely... It was all key with this fifth round being the midweek, and it wasn't just our match, it was also Newcastle's match. So, as was always going to be the Wednesday, I did hear, but it was whether Newcastle, whether the FA wanted to like have a Thursday match, one of the TV channels, but thankfully theirs is Tuesday, which means we'll have an extra day's rest than them before we play them. So the match is March the 2nd, 3 o'clock on the Saturday. 3 weeks tomorrow at 5 o'clock in the morning. We'll be setting off to walk to Newcastle. It's like, oh man, what am I doing? What am I doing? But we're doing it.
At least you've got Jeevan with you this time.
Well, I've got Jeevan, and he's really, honestly, really looking forward to it. We know it's going to be hard. But you know what? The fans, especially this last month, have been unbelievable. I think we've had just under $4,000 in the last about 4 weeks as we're ramping up, and we've got 3 weeks to go. People are sharing it. Lots of people are, you know, doing lots of great things. I've had people, you know, put big donations in to sponsor like nutrition, hotel costs, just random people I don't even know. And so brilliant, absolutely superb response from all the Wolves fans. So, you know, my links on all my social medias, and I try and share it. And people think, oh, he's sharing it. We share it because people want to donate. And every time you share it, more donations come on. So
will you be able to put it in the chat? We can put it on the screen as well.
Or I'll just email it to you or message it to you, Dave, if you want to throw it on. But thank you very much. We started the season on this link, 142,000. We're just 156 and a half now. So we went past £200,000 for Dementia UK alone, for just that charity alone. Just a couple of weeks ago, you know, over a quarter of a million for all the causes that we've supported over the last few years. So it's a chance to do something really big. Newcastle must, you know, absolute top club. Their supporter liaison officer, Matt Willis, phones me out the blue and said, we've been following what you're doing. My dad is a Wolves season ticket holder. So he knows about it. My dad's told me everything about it. And this is where you'll be finishing. So there's another name we've given to the walk, from Billy to Bobby, because we're starting at Billy Wright statue and we're finishing at Bobby Robson's statue. And then they said they'll take us onto the pitch and everything. So absolutely brilliant. My mum and dad are here. They're going to be here and they're going to go down to Newcastle. So that's going to be super emotional. Dave remembers the emotion.
No one need to ask, are you going to be getting getting a stretcher to get you up them stairs to watch the
match. Well, I have to climb
them. You have a heart attack getting up there anyway.
We have to, yeah, that's part of the challenge. And it, just the adrenaline alone is just going to throw me up. I think the fans will probably just pick me up and take me up anyway if I just struggle. So, yeah, it's going to happen. And, you know, it's a cause that, and Dave, you know about, and every single person knows somebody somewhere in their family tree. One in two people soon will have somebody in their family. Every 3 minutes, a million people. And we just got to talk about it more, and we've got to do more. Dementia UK started out with two nurses in 1992. They've got 450 now, but we need more. And the way we can have more caring for more families is we donate more, and you donate huge amounts. And that's why we carry on, and that's why we do this walk. So please click on the links, donate. Give what you can. If you can't, just share it, you know, with anyone's social media. When you can't do something personally, pass it on, because when you pass the parcel, somebody will get it and think, oh, I can do that. So just pass it on, tag people in, tag Newcastle in, tag, you know, whatever you want to, players in, and see if they can respond and do something as well. So thank you very much, everybody. And
wow. Drop me the link, mate, and I'll put it on the chat in a second. Yeah. And guys, we will be... forgive me, but we will be really promoting this over the next 3 weeks, and hopefully we'll get Manny on somewhere between here and Newcastle a couple of times during the walk as well, too, as an update. If you can drop even a pound, it makes a difference, and it makes a difference to people's lives. And, you know, if he's going to go through absolute hell on earth for 5 days and probably won't have any feet by the time he gets there and stuff like that. I saw Manny arrive at Chelsea last year, and he was very emotional. It was tough. So this is even harder. So yeah. we'll make sure he's coming. We'll put it on the link. Guys, Chris and Manny, thanks for joining us the first half. Guys, hopefully join us for the quiz at the end. So stick around for that, because we're going to have a five-way shootout for this week's quiz, penalty quiz champion. But until then... cheerful, and Manny, thanks ever so much for joining us.
Cheers, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Thank you.
Fantastic. Again, this ends the first part of the show, and a big, massive thank you to Creation Wolf for powering this show.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.